I am here with Mr. Dietrich Pewter on November 7th, 2006. My name is Lucas Carr, and I am interviewing Mr. Pewter about his POW experiences during the Second World War. Before we get into that, Mr. Pewter, could you just start by briefly describing your activities in the war before your capture?
I was a pilot and officer in the German Luftwaffe. My rank at that time was a lieutenant, and I was just on the way of becoming first lieutenant when it was shut down. And I flew as long distance reconnaissance against the Soviet Union. And we were fairly short in long distance reconnaissance squadrons. So my squadron had an area which was about from nearly Moscow in the north up to the south to the Turkey and up to the east as far as you can reach to see what was going on there.
Excellent. And so it was in your flight that you were captured. You were shot down, correct?
Yeah.
And where was this and what was
that
the date?
Was on the 3rd of June, 1942, I was shot down. I was rammed by a Russian fighter about 150 kilometers northeast of Voronezh. Voronezh is a big city on the Don River. Yeah, the details.
So you were rammed. Is this because the Russians had more planes and they could afford to? I don't understand the logic behind it.
Fighter aircraft is to replace very easy. If the aircraft gets lost and it is over their own territory, the pilot can save himself by parachute. Mm-hmm. But the enemy who comes, comes with a long distance aircraft for making photographs and finding out what is going on. It is always for their side very important to hinder in doing that. Shoot him down. And I was already before twice shot down. And in this time, it was very, very bad. There were about 12 fighters around. Each one tried to shoot me down. And finally, he came from the side and shot very deadly into the aircraft, and then couldn't get out and run me at the end of my aircraft. He had to jump out, I jumped out. Finally, I came out, I didn't jump out, I was thrown out of the aircraft finally. But that's another story.
Okay, so you were picked up, and were you injured?
Oh, very badly injured.
Could you describe the injuries briefly? Mr. Pewter is referring to a book which is held in special collections. Doing that for record.
You get it there much better than I can describe it now.
So how were you treated when you came in?
Which, of course, is a very general question.
Yes.
For 7 years. During the first year I was a prisoner, prisoners of war were non-existent. They had no rights. Every Russian could just shoot you down. Nobody would even ask what has happened. We were absolutely free targets. Then after Stalingrad, which happened in winter of 1942-1943, the Russians got surrendered in Stalingrad, 123,000 Germans. From they announced only 93,000 of the first 30,000. They just didn't mention. But of these 93,000, finally came home less than 4,000. And Stalin then realized after the first few weeks after Stalingrad that if it goes on like that, then suddenly no prisoner of war is alive anymore. And this would be very damaging to his standing in the West. So from then on, there came rules that the prisoners, how to handle prisoners, and it was much better. The worst time I had experienced was early in 1942, or still in 1942, as I was in Lubyanka, the most famous jail of the world.
I've heard of it.
At that time. And later on, I must say, we knew then how to handle the Russians. There was only one thing Russian authorities far away from Moscow were afraid of. That is, if a commission from Moscow was coming to check their actions. And that is what we were playing out, of course. So, basically, I think we were... Okay, in the first few years there was not enough food. If you think that the Soviet Union altogether had more than 5.5 million German prisoners during this war, and that from these 2.5 million died, then that is about 40%. That is, of course, a terrible blood letting for Germany. I will give you only some comparative figures for Canada. Canada, during this war, had about 1 million German prisoners altogether. From these 1 million, 14 died, 14. 7 were hanged because they had committed crimes, and 7 died of natural causes. 14 against 1 million. 2.5 million against 5.5 million in the Soviet Union. That gives you an impression.
Wow. Yeah, that's a mind-boggling.
Of course, since the Western powers were victorious in World War II, and Russia was, the Soviet Union was their ally, you never heard the full story here. Because always the victory, the victorious power writes the history. But these are the facts. Meanwhile, there are enough books on the market here in Canada and in the US which talk about these things. And even if you want to know how German prisoners were handled after the war, there's a Canadian writer here, James Bard, who wrote the book Other Losses. I don't know whether you have heard of it. You like a cup of tea?
No, I'm okay, but thank you very much.
I would like one.
Maybe just a glass of water would be
okay.
Lucas Carr.
Hi. Nice to meet you. This is my better 50%.
A drop of water?
Yes, that would be excellent.
Would you like
juice? No, water would be just excellent. Yeah. Thank you. So, Mr. Peter, what I'm trying to understand, mostly through this interview, I've written that down, is trying to understand the structure of command within the prison. How the structure beforehand, before in the army, continued in the camp.
No. It didn't exist anymore. Because particularly in the first year before Germans became prisoners in greater numbers, you were alone. You were on your own. I was a single prisoner until I came finally in a camp. Then in the camps, we had a structure that the Russians made an organization of the kind that, let's say, a big room with about 50 or 100, wherein one was named, who was responsible to take care that order is kept alive, and that in the morning cleaning is done, and all these things. So that was a kind of structure, but of course the Russians only named those who were for them. It was the aim of the Sovietic authorities to turn the Germans around psychologically so that they would become communists and would fight for the Soviet Union instead for Germany. And they used all kinds of measures to do that. And when a man has lost 50% of his weight and so on, is afraid of dying, then you can understand that many of those grabbed that and tried to pretend that to save his life in their lives. This was, you will read about that in my book.
I'd like to hear about it on tape too. Hmm? I'd like to hear about it on tape, too, if that's not too much to ask. Yeah. So, there's the Russians who dictated the command structure.
Absolutely. And they kept the absolute power on everything. They kept the fear alive by picking up people in the middle of the night, waking them up out of sleep, when they're sleeping the deepest, bring them to interrogations, threaten them, beat them up, all these things.
Did this happen to you?
Of course it happened to me. You will read about what happened in Moscow and in America. Later on, in the camps, nothing more happened to me.
Okay.
Nearly nothing. Because after they had found out that it was useless, that I wouldn't give in, they left me alone. Okay, there came more things. Wherever they could, they made me life miserable. So I was accused one day. Okay, there was a German general who was also prisoner of war, and he dared to flee. They helped him, and unfortunately it was not successful. So finally I found out that I had a second. Thank you, my dear.